Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Carborundum Universal Limited Q4 FY24 conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 FY24 earnings call of Carborundum Universal. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Managing Director, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, CFO, Mr. Sushil Bendale, CFO Designate, Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor Investor Relations, and Mr. Ganesh Kumar, Senior Manager Strategic Planning. I'll now hand over the floor to the management for their initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, Bhoomika. I'm Chandramouli. Let us start the proceeding with a disclaimer class. Good morning. During this call, we may make certain statements which reflect our outlook for the future or which could be considered as forward-looking statements. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Thank you.
Good. Good morning to all of you, and a very warm welcome to the fourth quarter and full-year earnings call for the financial year FY24. Before I begin, I trust you and your family members are safe and healthy. Today, I'm joined in the call with Mr. Padmanabhan, Mr. Sushil Bendale, Chandramouli, and Mr. Ganesh. We will begin this call with providing an overview of the company's performance for the quarter four and the full year, as well as an outlook for FY25. First, I will start with the consolidated business performance. Consolidated sales for FY24 were almost flat and grew at 0.6% to 4,628 crores. This means a growth rate of 2.7% in abrasives, 4.8% in ceramics, and electrominerals with a negative growth of 5.4%. But it's important to understand VAW's performance here to appreciate this 4,628 crores, how it comes. VAW represents 19.4% of the consolidated CUMI sales. VAW grew by 20.4% in FY24 in ruble terms. But when it gets translated into INR, it shows a degrowth of 9.5%. That's why it gets reflected both in consolidated total sales as well as in the electromineral sales. During the last year, that is FY24, FY23, one ruble was converted into 1.23 Indian rupees. Whereas in FY24, one ruble is converted at 0.92 Indian rupees. Now, had the exchange rate remained the same, the overall growth of CUMI would have been 7% instead of 0.6%, as we just mentioned. This also means a growth of 8.9% in electrominerals, 6.3% in ceramics, and 5% in abrasives. Coming to quarterly performance, consolidated sales for Q4 FY24 was at 1,183 crores, with a sequential growth of 4.7% and almost flat quarter-over-quarter sequential growth was contributed by growth of 15.5% in ceramics, a growth of 3.3% in electrominerals, and 0.8% growth in abrasives. Now coming to PBIT, PBIT for FY24 grew at 15.4% to rupees 625 crores with a PBIT margin of 13.5% against 541 crores in FY23 with a PBIT margin of 11.8%. The PBIT margin of 625 crores is the highest in the long term, the last 4-5 years if one looks at it. This was contributed by abrasive growth of growth at 73%, ceramic growth at 14%, and a degrowth in electrominerals by 14%. PBIT for Q4 FY24 was at 171 crores with a PBIT margin of 14.4% compared to PBIT for Q3 FY24, which was at 158 crores with PBIT margin of 14%. And PBIT for Q4 FY23, comparable last year quarter, was at 157.5 crores with PBIT margin of 13.3%. So the growth is 8.3% sequentially and 8.6% quarter over quarter. So we have a good growth at the PBIT at full year level and the Q4 level. Now, if I look at PAT, PAT for FY24 grew at 11.4% to 461 crores. There was an exceptional income of rupees 25 crores during FY23, which you would note that it was called out as exceptional income in the P&L phase itself. If you exclude that, profit after tax growth was 18.6% compared to last year. PAT for Q4 FY24 was at 135 crores, against 111 crores in Q3 FY24, that is the immediate preceding quarter, and 137 crores comparable quarter last year, which included a one-time exceptional income of 25 crores. So if you exclude that, there's a significant growth, which is what we just saw. Standalone business grew by 4.9% to 2,593 crores in FY24 compared to the last year. The growth was majorly driven by ceramic segment at 5.6%, wherein refractory grew at 13.5%, electrominerals segment grew at 5.6%, and abrasive segment grew at 3.9%. On quarterly basis, standalone grew by 4.4% to 656 crores in Q4 of this year, FY24, compared to last year's Q4 FY23 at 628 crores. And sequential basis, the growth was at 3.4%. If we exclude one-time exceptional income of rupees 25 crores in FY23, PBIT for FY24 grew at 10.8% to 467 crores with PBIT margin of 18% compared to PBIT of the last year, which was at 422 crores with a PBIT margin of 17.1%. The growth in PBIT margin came from abrasives, ceramics, and a fall from electrominerals. Q4 FY24 PBIT was rupees 124 crores, which grew at 12.8% compared to Q3 of FY24 and grew by 2% compared to the same quarter of the last year. Profit after tax for FY24 was at 350 crores. This is an increase of 5.9% compared to FY23. PAT for Q4 24 was at 94 crores, resulting in 17.6% growth compared to Q3 FY24 and 17.4% degrowth compared to Q4 FY23, which included one-time exception income of 25 crores. Now I'll go to by segment. Abrasives consolidated revenue for FY24 was at 2,091 crores, which grew at 2.7% compared to the last year. The growth is 5% excluding, the growth is, if it is equivalent to 5%, if one excludes VAS exchange rate impact. The abrasives consolidated revenue for quarter grew 1.5% quarter over quarter to 533 crores and by 0.8% sequentially. On a full year basis, standalone abrasive was at 1,150 crores and grew by 3.9% compared to last year. Standalone abrasives grew by 4.2% to 292 crores quarter over quarter and 0.5% sequentially. VAW, on full year basis, sales grew by 22% in ruble terms. However, in INR, this resulted in a decrease of 8%. During FY23, ruble to INR was converted at 1.23, which I just said, whereas in current year, it is converted at 0.92. Quarter over quarter, the growth in ruble was almost good at 14%. Exchange rate in Q4 24 was 0.91 against 1.12 of the Q4 of the last year. Now I'll move to Rhodius. Rhodius in Q4 achieved a net sales of 17 million euro compared to 15.5 million in Q3 of FY24 and 17.4 million in Q4 of the last year. On a full year basis, sales degrew by 2% to 63.3 million euro from 64.5 million euro during the last year. Coming to the bottom line performance, I'm happy to share that Rhodius made a profit of 0.6 million in Q4 FY23, including the PPA write-off. On full year basis, the loss after tax was 1.5 million euro against the loss of 3.7 million during the last year. This is what we have been communicating, that they would come down. The interesting point to note here is that if we exclude the PPA write-off of 2.8 million on a full year basis, Rhodius made a profit before tax of 1 million euro in FY24 itself. Awuko, coming to Awuko's performance, on a full year basis, we achieved 9.13 million sales, which is 3% lower compared to last year. And losses after tax at 2.3 million against 3.7 million during the last year. The sales for the quarter grew by 19% to 2.55 million against Q3 FY24. And 2.6 million in Q4 of the last year. The loss after tax for the quarter was at 0.4 million against the loss of 1.2 million in the same quarter last year. We expect Awuko to break even at EBITDA level in FY25 and a small loss of 0.7 million to 1 million in FY25. Avoco, America, which grew at 8% on a full year basis, has done well. Standalone abrasives on a full year basis grew 3.9% to 1,150 crores compared to last year. All three segments, industrial, precision and retail, had a single digit growth with volume growth in industrial and precision, whereas the volume degrew in retail segment, which was had the impact which we have been talking to you for quite some time. Coming to the bottom line performance of the segment, the consolidated abrasives PBIT on full year basis was at 182 crores compared to 105 crores, resulting in a margin improvement from 5.1% to 8.7%. So this is the consolidated PBIT margin. This was mainly due to better performance in standalone, RHODIUS and AWUKO. On a full year basis, the standalone margin has improved significantly to 17% compared to 13.7% during the last year, mainly on account of the product mix. This is the standalone. Product mix, softening in input cost, improvement in operational efficiencies and better realization. Q4 FY24, PBIT was rupees 63 crores against 38 crores of Q4 of the last year and 50 crores in Q3 of the current financial year. RHODIUS delivered profit after tax of 0.6 million euro against the loss of 0.7 million euro in Q3 FY24, which we just covered. Now I'll move to Electrominerals. Electrominerals on a consolidated basis for FY24 had a sales of 1,545 crores compared to 1,634 crores during the last year. Growth is 8.9% excluding WAS exchange rate impact. Electrominerals consolidated revenue for the quarter was 381 crores versus 369 crores in Q3 of the current year, resulting in an increase of 3.3%, but it degrew 6.1% quarter over quarter. Now let us cover individual sub-elements in it. Standalone Electrominerals for FY24 was 741 crores, showing a growth of 5.6% compared to the last year. Revenue for the quarter was at 179 crores versus 172 crores in Q3 of the current year, almost flat quarter on quarter on basis. On a full year basis, the volume growth in aluminas has been very good. It is high teens alumina volume growth. SIC volumes were marginally better than the last year, but the price realization were impacted due to the dumping by China producers. Hence, we could not get the benefit of increased volume in sales. VAW, I will cover the performance of VAW. On a full year basis, sales grew by 20% to ruble 9.7 billion. This is a better performance in ruble terms. The operations are running well. There has been an increase in sales volume compared to the last year in all three segments, silicon carbide, abrasives and refractories. In FY23, ruble was converted on an average to Indian rupees at 1.23, whereas in FY24 it is converted to 0.92. This conversion resulted in a degrowth of 5.4% as the consolidated revenue in Indian rupees compared to FY23. On a full year basis, the profits increased significantly to 1.6 billion ruble compared to 1.2 billion ruble of the same period last year. Sales for Q4 FY24 in local currency grew to 2.3 billion compared to Q4 23. They delivered a profit of 384 million ruble in Q4 against 349 million during the same period last year. Capacity utilization is very good. On a full year basis, the product mix towards Russia sales increased to 59% compared to last year 57%, and the pre-conflict time was 45%. They continue to be debt-free and outlook remains stable and positive. I'll move to Foskor Zirconia. On a full year basis, Foskor had a lower sales in volume to the extent of 16%. Which we communicated earlier, largely three customers postponed the order. They had an impact in Q2 and Q3 of their quarters, and Q1 was around 1,000 tons. Q4 also was at 1,000 tons, which is a good sign. So which means two out of the four quarters they did well, but the two quarters which they could not do really impacted them. This was possible with increased offtakes, which is what is happening in Q4. We expect this momentum to continue in FY25. So we feel that the FY25 will be a better performance than FY24. Coming to the bottom line performance of the segment on a full year basis, PBIT was 237 crores compared to 275 crores in the last year. This is a degrowth of 13.8%. This is due to impact of 28 crores standalone and 20 crores in Foskor Zirconia. For the quarter, PBIT at consolidated level was 51.6 crores against 50 crores in Q3 of current year and 65 crores in Q4 of the last financial year. This I am covering the entire electro-mineral section. Now I will move to the ceramics. Consolidated ceramics on full year basis for FY24 grew by 4.8% to 1077 crores. In Q4 FY24, sales of ceramics was at 281 crores against 243 crores in Q3 FY24 and 265 crores in Q4 FY23. Standalone ceramics for FY24 grew by 5.6% to 881 crores compared to 834 crores during the last year. Refractory, ware ceramics, metallized cylinders grew at high teens on a full year basis, but with the degrowth in engineered ceramic, the overall segment resulted in a 5.6% growth. We expect this will get better in FY25, which I will cover later. In Q4 FY24, sales of ceramic was at 220 crores against 211 crores in Q4 FY23 and 213 crores in FY24. Subsidiaries in Australia and America registered a mid-teens growth. Coming to the bottom line performance of the segment on a full year basis, consolidated PBIT was 286 crores with a growth of 13.9% compared to the last year. All companies in the segment contributed to margin improvement. Now I request, the PBIT margin has improved from 24.4% to 26.5% on a full year basis. I will request Padmanabhan to cover the PBIT margin, debt positions, capex, cash flow and return on capital employed. Thank you.
Consolidated on a full year basis, the PBIT margin is at 13.5% in the current year compared to 11.8% during last year. This is due to better performance in abrasives and ceramics. Abrasives margin improved from 5.1% to 8.7% and ceramics margins improved from 24.4% to 26.5%. PBIT margin at consolidated level for Q4 FY24 was at 14.4% compared to 14% in Q3 FY24 and 13.3% in Q4 of last year. Standalone, on full year basis, standalone PBIT margin is at 18% in the current year compared to 17.1% during last year, excluding one-time exceptional income of 25 crores. The drop in margins is coming mainly from electro-mineral segment. Its PBIT margins dropped from 14% to 9.5%. Other two segments did better than last year. Abrasives margin improved from 13.7% to 17% and ceramics margins improved from 24.6% to 25.1%. PBIT margin for the quarter improved from 17.4% in Q3 of FY24 to 18.9% in Q4. Abrasives on a full year basis consolidated PBIT margins improved from 5.1 to 8.7%, mainly contributed by standalone abrasive business, its margin increasing from 13.7 to 17%, and losses coming down in Rhodius and Awuko. At consolidated level, PBIT margins for the quarter improved from 7.3% in Q4 FY23 to 11.9% in Q4 of FY24. Also improved by 237 basis points sequentially. This was due to increase in the margins of standalone abrasive business from 15.8% in Q4 of FY23 to 18.7% in Q4 of FY24. This is mainly on back of the better realizations and improved operational efficiencies. Standalone abrasives margins improved by 144 basis points sequentially as well. In respect of the electro-minerals, On a full year basis, the PBIT margins has decreased from 16.9% during last year to 15.4% in the current financial year. This drop is a result of standalone business and the South African subsidiaries performance. The margins of standalone business dropped from 14 to 9.5%. On full year basis, volume growth in Aluminas has been good and SIC volumes were marginally better than last year. But price realizations were impacted due to dumping by Chinese producers. This resulted in drop in PBIT to the extent of 28 crores. PBIT margins at consolidated level for Q4 current year was at 13.6% at the same level of Q3 of the current year. Quarter on quarter, it dropped by 245 basis points. The margins of standalone business dropped from 7.8% in Q3 to 6.2% in Q4 and by 119 basis points quarter on quarter. The drop in margins is mainly due to lower price realization despite securing higher volumes. In respect of ceramics, the consolidated PBIT margins improved from 24.4% to 26.5%. And standalone margins increased from 24.6 to 25.1%. All three subsidiaries, Kimi America, Kimi Australia and War Russia, had better margins than last year. At consolidated level, PBIT margins for the quarter improved from 23.2% in Q4 to 25.2% in Q4 of the current year and improved by 50 basis points sequentially. The margins of standalone business dropped from 23.7% in last quarter to 23.5% in Q4 of the current year and by 73 basis points quarter on quarter, mainly on account of mix between the industrial ceramics and refractories and product mix within the industrial ceramics. The debt position, there was no debt at the standalone books and the total debt at the consolidated level was at 113 crores at the end of FY24 compared to 230 crores at the end of FY23. The debt to equity ratio was at 0.04 at consolidated level. Cash and cash equivalent net of borrowings was 442 crores against 166 crores at the end of last year. In respect of the capex on full year basis, we did capex investment of 219 crores at the consolidated level. Cash flow, our free cash flows on full year basis for FY24 at consolidated level is at 86% of PAT compared to 33% of PAT during last year. At standalone level, it is 90% of the PAT compared to 60% of PAT during last year. This is mainly on account of significantly higher net cash inflow from operations and better working capital management compared to last year. The return on capital employed on full year basis at consolidated level is at 18.5% compared to 17% during last year. At standalone level, it is at 20.3% compared to 20% in last year. On Y-on-Y, for consolidated basis, the return on capital employed for ceramics has improved from 42.4 to 46.9. For abrasive, it has improved from 7.8% to 13.1%. And for electrominerals, it has decreased from 29.9 to 26.7. For standalone businesses, the return on capital employed for ceramics has improved from 48.3 to 52.2%. For abrasive, it has improved from 40.9% to 44.2%. But for electrominerals, it has decreased from 38.9 to 26.2%. Unallocable expenses at the standalone level in FY24 is at 19.8 crores, while in FY23, unallocable expenses was 32.77 crores. The expense is lower by 12.95 crores. This is mainly due to higher dividend income in FY24. Compared to Q3 of FY24, the expenses in Q4 of FY24 are lower, rupees 10.56 crores due to higher dividend income. Similarly, compared to Q4 of last year, the expenses are higher by 4.96 crores, primarily due to higher professional fees paid. Consolidated, the unallocable expenses at the consolidated level for FY24 was at 57.6 crores, while in FY23, unallocable expense was at 72 crores, primarily due to the withholding tax related to WA in FY23 and lower professional fees in FY24. Unallocable expenses was higher by 4.13 crore quarter on quarter, and sequentially it was higher by 8.9 crore, primarily due to the exchange losses in the current quarter and the professional fees paid. Now, I request Mr. Sridharan to take you through the next section related to future outlook.
Okay, thank you. I'll cover about the FY25, what we are looking at. The Indian economy continues to remain resilient against the challenging global environment. The medium-term outlook is positive. We are cautiously positive about the key geographies and sectors in which we operate. In this background, we expect the full-year consolidated sales growth could be 9% to 11% on a stable currency basis. We expect the consolidated sales could be 5,100 crores to 5,200 crores. We expect the growth in abrasives around 11 to 12%, ceramics 12 to 14%, and electrominerals 5 to 6%. Abrasive growth would be driven by three elements: India Abrasives, Rhodius, and AWUKO. India Abrasives growth would be 9% to 11%. The key drivers of the growth would be go-to-market expansion for retail and mass industrial products with specific three focus areas. Basically, increase our work in East and North, where we need to scale up our presence and do that. Building the reach in white spaces of West and parts of North who focus on demand generation. Structured key account management. All these will go to help the go-to-market expansion. And multiple NPD currently in pipeline will hit the market across the retail industrial by mid of financial year. This should also help the increase in select segments. Introduction of new products in market via traded route to match the cost, especially some value-added segments which we need to really focus on. Dedicated focus on pushing new categories like cutting blades in non-South markets. Focus of key account management for top 50 precision customers. These areas, the strategic initiative that we are looking at, will help us to grow in the abrasives in standalone. Rhodius, we are targeting a growth of 10%, roughly about 5 million to 7 million euro. Moderate economic activity recovery in Germany and other European countries, coupled with demand pickup in private label business, would help to get the 10% growth. These are numbers which they have done in the past, say in 2022, like that. AWUKO, we are targeting a growth of 8 million to 10 million. Our team has done an extensive market sizing, reaching out to key customers who have moved away from AWUKO during the last 4 to 5 years before takeover of Cumi. The key drivers of growth would be: one, focus on wood and leather industry; two, get back star customers. A list of 70 customers were made where we have worked, supplied in the past, but they're not dealing with us currently. Three, overall reduction of lead time. These three focus areas will help us to get the higher volume that we are targeting. Now, industrial ceramics, the growth rates are India and America are the two key drivers. Australia will be marginal growth. We expect the growth would be 13% to 15%. We expect all three subsegments of industrial ceramics, where metallized cylinders, engineered ceramics will do well. Growth drivers include medium voltage T&D industry pickup, mobility, high-speed rail, mines, minerals, defense sector will be the growth drivers for industrial ceramics. Refractory, we expect the growth to be 12 to 13%. The drivers of growth would be go global in glass, super alloys, chemical processing industry in North America, Europe, and MENA regions. Market opportunity in iron and steel, cement, carbon black.
electro minerals, it would consist of growth in India and Foster Zirconia. As far as VAW, we are planning similar performance as that of the last year. Foster Zirconia, the reason for the growth, as I said, that they missed two quarters in the last year below 1,000 tons of run rate. We have reorganized the marketing, reaching out to all customers resulted in higher demand in Q4. They started participating in exhibitions, etc. The run rate is 1,000 tons in Q4. We expect this to continue in FY25. As far as India, the volume growth was good in FY24 itself, and we expect this would continue. We are also expecting a stable price environment. We had a steep price impact last time, which was about 7 to 8%. We expect a growth of 10% in India. The demand drivers are for the performance of the refractive and abrasive industries. In FY24, we delivered a PBIT margin of 13.5% at consolidated level. We expect in FY25 this could improve by 20 to 30 basis points. Abrasives in FY23, it was 5.1%, moved to 8.7% in FY24. We expect that it could improve another 100 basis points in FY25. Ceramics, FY23, it was 24.4%, moved to 26.5%. We expect a similar performance in FY25. Electro minerals in FY23, it was 16.9%, went down to 15.4%. We expect 20 to 30 basis point improvement in FY25. CapEx, we have spent on an average 195 crores annually in the last 5 years. In FY23, we spent around 219 crores. In FY25, we are expecting a spend of 350 crores. We acquired the assets of Dronco, Germany in FY24. We acquired the brand and technology of Dronco. We have moved the assets into India. We are setting up this facility in India. It would take 2 years for us to set up this facility. Similarly, we are setting up a 6 tons per month high purity silicon carbide facility. This will take about 18 months. We are also planning IT infrastructure and safety related capex. Now I would like to close my opening remark with a summary. In standalone business, good volume growth in electromineral business, VAW ceramics, metallized cylinders, refractories, corrosion resistance products. In abrasives, good volume is there in industrial and precision. We face price pressure in EMD business due to China dumping. We have challenge in abrasive retail market. There were some challenges in engineered ceramics during the last 3-4 quarters, but we are getting back on track. VAW Russia is doing well given the difficult conditions. South Africa business was impacted in Q2 and Q3, but now better shape. We are expecting a similar performance as that of Q4 continuing in FY25. Rhodius delivered a profit in Q4 FY24 and we are expecting same momentum in the coming quarters. Losses in AWUKO are lowering and we expect we have a planned break-even at EBITDA level in FY25. Cumi America and Australia are doing well, plus loss is coming down and will break even in FY25. Free cash flow to PAT is very good at 86%. The company continues to be debt-free. In the meantime, we have also strengthened the leadership team in the last 9 months. Adrian Ganson joined as COO at Rhodius. Marcus Marsa has joined as CFO at Rhodius and AWUKO. Sushil Bendale has joined as CFO. Ajit Kole has joined as IT head. Ram Mohan has joined as EHS head. Padmanabhan will take over as CRO and global taxation head. Sham Raman will become the Chief Human Resources Officer. Srikanth will be heading the abrasive business. So this has strengthened the leadership team both at the global as well as strengthening the leadership team at my level. So we have created a good base. The business is in good conditions. We have also equally worked on the future, which I think we will share this
in a year's time as we progress on that. With that, I complete the opening remarks and I will open up for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the improvement in Rhodius and Awuko. I remember last quarter, we actually slashed the volumes number there and kind of flattish guidance there. So just wanted to understand how is the capacity utilization which is shaping up in these two businesses, and is our strategy on track? I remember when we acquired, we talked about cross-selling products. We talked about bringing technology here and raw material from India to supplying to these subsidiaries. And the third thing is we wanted to understand what kind of volume growth we are factoring in for FY25 and what actually very specifically led to the decline in the losses for 4Q.
Yeah. Thank you, Amit, for your set of questions. I think when we talked last time itself, we have guided that Rhodius may lower the losses than expected. This was the guidance that I shared last time, and that is how they are also performing. And Awuko's losses are also coming down. This is what we communicated. As I said, that we expect a 10% growth in Rhodius, and a substantial growth. You know, it's not right to consider growth of 60-50% because it may look so absurd for this one. But they have been growing at about 8 to 9 million euro this year. And they can have a potential of getting to, say, 30 million euro. So we are looking at getting to about 17 to 18 million euro this year. As I said, the strategy is to focus on wood and leather. Second is to get back to the 70 customers with whom we have dealt in the past, but they have moved away from Awuko because of their challenges that the Awuko went through before our acquisition. Those customers we have reached out and we will be in a position to get back to them. Strengthening of the marketing team, etc. And the focus on reducing the lead time, which was one of the major costs people have shifted. So we feel that these will help help us to get back to a normalcy. And I think as far as the synergy goes, I think I just shared with you is that we are trying to set up a 50 million thin wheel capacity, which we acquired from a company called Droneco, which is similar to Rhodius in Germany, which went bankrupt, but we did not acquire the company. We acquired the assets, technology, and brand. We moved these assets as we speak in the last month, and that we will start setting this up using the Rhodius technology. That is how the synergies will start playing out.
So how was the capacity utilization, sir, in these two subsidiaries?
We have enough capacity to utilize.
Sure. Second question on ceramics business. You highlighted that we witnessed a high teen growth for VS Ceramics and Matte Cylinder. And there were some issues, I think, the lesser customer offtake for Indian Ceramics. And this year we are guiding for almost, I think, 13-14% top-line growth. So what kind of volume growth we are factoring in for ceramics in all these 3-4 sub-segments?
I don't want to get into the specifics of volume and price.
Probably I would stay with whatever I guided there. But I think in the engineered ceramic space, we are getting back to normalcy. That is what I expected. There was a drop last year because of one customer's delay. We are assuming that customer order will continue to be the same, right? And that is the basic assumption. On top of that, we have confidence in getting the growth there on because of some specific work that we have done in the last 18 months to get back to other areas, be it in devices and higher cylinder production as well as in terms of the defense. This will help us to get back to higher volumes in engineered ceramics. Where ceramics and metallized cylinders are doing fine in the past and will continue to do also well in FY25.
Sure. Lastly, sir, amid the geopolitical situation, any disruptions we are facing with respect to supply to any area? That is my last question.
I'm not sure which political disturbance you are telling. There are all around so many political disturbances everywhere happening. But I think we are continuing to navigate our business in compliance with many things, and we haven't, there are delays because of, you know, this Israeli conflict, and which I think every industry these days are facing. There is also an increase in logistics cost due to that. So those are, I would say, that every industry, every business is facing today. And everyone is trying to find the best possible alternate to overcome that. So we also continue to do that.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks for answering the question. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sagar Gandhi from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, am I audible?
You are audible, Sagar.
Yeah, sir, my question is on this acquisition also which you mentioned. Can you please highlight what is the peak revenue that this company has done over the last 5 years? And if you can give some more details on this acquisition.
No, so first of all, I want to clarify, this is not an acquisition of a company. This is an acquisition of an asset, right? Yeah. It has a capacity of 50 million thin wheel can be produced. And we expect this could give about 250 to 300 crores of top line.
250 crores of top line in rupee terms?
Yes.
From FY25 onwards?
I wish we have a magic wand to put all capacities just like that, but I told it will take 18 months to set up this facility itself. So I would expect this would start flowing in from FY27 and probably late 26 onwards.
Okay, and sir, margin profile, any
I would not guess at this stage.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. So, first question is aggressive growth.
Ravi, sir, we're not able to hear you clearly.
I think you are on a speaker, Ravi. We can probably come out of the speaker, yeah.
Sure. Is it better now, sir?
Yeah, far better.
Yeah. So, with respect to the abrasive business standalone, past couple of years it has been in that 4 to 5% range. So is it like the growth would have been slower because of industry growing and the competition being higher, or the entire industry itself being slow growth? If you can throw more light on the industry growth.
Yeah, thank you, Swaminathan. We have clarified this question earlier calls also, is that industry has been growing well. No issues on the industry growth. It is just that, you know, we could not capture certain market share. This is what is our thing. And I have a feel that it's largely a question of in select products, select region, you know, there are competition which have taken market share than us. More competition than organized competition like us. So there are definitely people who have, you know, either imported products and started selling or light manufacturing and started selling is what has taken place.
Okay, and this year the margins were very good at 17%. Is that kind of sustainable at an EBIT level, I'm asking, with respect to the standalone abrasive business?
Yeah, so this is a combination of many things as I described in my opening remark. Lot of that is a function of soft, you know, commodity prices happening. So I would expect there could be a small dip. I would say we should be able to maintain that, but subject to many other things that would happen in this field. So you should factor in, you know, a 50 bips dip to a 20 bips pickup.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I missed your comment on setting up the high purity silicon carbide facility. If you could elaborate on this.
Yeah, I think this facility is set up in Kerala. We will serve two markets. One is market is for serving the semiconductor industry where the high purity silicon carbide will be used. Second is in the technical ceramics field. So these are the two fields that we will be addressing. The capacity is 6 tons per month capacity is what we are setting this up. Of course, we will scale up depending on how it would, you know, getting the capacity utilization, we will scale this up. We expect 18 months to set this up.
Yeah, what kind of capex it would require setting up these 6 tons per month?
So I don't want to share an exact capex one. It is part of the number that we shared already as overall capex number at this point. Yeah.
Understood. So just a small follow-up to that. So what kind of realizations these high-purity silicon carbide would have? Would it be 10 times, 20 times, or maybe 50 times of what the commodity silicon carbide that we are selling? So is this the right ballpark or it would be different than this?
I think at least say 20, 25 times higher than the current realization. I would wait to share many things on this. Step one is from a lab, we have moved to establishing a plant. That's the first step. We are confident of setting this up. We are confident of establishing this product because we have supplied few from the lab level itself. So now we will have to then work in terms of getting to the next level, set this up, start working with the customers, and then we will share more details at that point.
Understood. My second question is on Awuko and Rhodius. In your opening remarks, you mentioned that the Rhodius sales declined by 2% in FY24 and Awuko declined by close to 3%. Now, what was the volume growth? I believe the prices would have declined. I believe the prices would have grown significantly. So the volumes must have declined at least in high single digits. So if you could give some flavor on the same.
See, honestly, you know, Rahuko and all, it is too early to look at price, volume, etc. We are, as I said, we have enough and more to do there. I would rather focus in terms of increasing from the current 9 million, you know, to the next year about 17 to 18 million. That's step one. That should be our focus. Rhodius also is that these are blips that happen based on the, you know, current demand supply situation. we are getting back to 10% growth, which is more or less what they have done in 2022 or so. So it is very much doable, and I would wait to focus on price volume analysis on a company like this.
So just lastly, on the standalone electro minerals business, we have seen the deterioration in the margins in the last 2 to 3 quarters because of the Chinese dumping. So what are the steps we are taking to arrest this decline in the margins? And what could be the sustainable margins in this segment going forward? That would be my last question.
So I think the electro mineral margin, this year we did about 9.5% standalone, right? And last year we were at 14%. I would like to think maintaining in the range of 9.5 is possible, and it should improve as this dumping will start reversing. And I think we'll have to give some more quarters before this stops. There are quite a few steps that we are looking at in terms of bringing our costs down, both in terms of productivity, sourcing, and energy cost reduction. So these are the measures that we are trying to counter that. But I think in the initial phase, we are also parallelly trying to work with the government in terms of explaining to them to look at this anti-dumping measures, but it's a lengthy process, but I think these are the steps that we are taking.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for answering my questions, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saif Saurabh Gujjar from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just on the Russian subsidiary, VAW, can you just repeat the PAT amount in rubles and what would be in INR terms and how much of that we have utilized, say, for dividend taken to the standalone entity and reinvestment out of that, sir?
Yes, we said that one profit increased significantly to 1.6 billion rubles. So it's roughly about 145 to 150 crores. And we have a policy of taking 1/3 of this as a profit dividend, which will come to our holding company, not to the standalone.
But it will eventually flow to the standalone, right? So what I'm trying to understand on the cash flow part, there is no...
That will get used to for servicing our debt for acquisition, etc., which we have already completed. That's why we said that all the debts are paid. Now we have an opportunity to reuse this for various purposes, including repatriating back to India.
Okay, sure. And my second question is on the dumping part, but on the abrasive side. So similar thing, just in terms you like for abrasive, for electro minerals you talked about taking up with the government. Are similar actions possible on the abrasive side? Or these imports have been there always, so there is no scope there?
No. I think there are similar possibility exists in abrasives, which we have done effectively along with, you know, the people in the industry. While the Ministry of Commerce recommended for a dumping, Ministry of Finance did not agree to this. We have gone for an appeal against that.
Okay. Thanks, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, on the EMD segment now, you know, on the standalone basis, we are broadly around 20-25% is a specialty EMD. How do you see that changing over the next 3-4 years as this high-purity silicon facility is commissioned?
Bhumika, I think I just want to clarify a few things, which I will do now, is that we are at about 11 to 12% is our specialty material compared to the regular one. Okay, that's number one. It's not at 25%.
Okay.
The second is that our aim, yes, this we will increase this to, we are expecting by 2030 we will get to 75-25. Is what is our current program that we will take us.
Understood. So, sir, when this shift happens where you will probably, as you said, from 10% move towards 25% kind of specialty business,
yes,
how then the margin profile shift? Will it remain around this 9-10% kind of a range? Or do you think it will settle more towards 14-15% per se?
Yeah. So let me give a color. So the core product that we are talking is WFA brown fuse semi-friable silicon carbide is our core product.
Sure.
The specialties that we are looking at is alumina zirconia, zirmol, thermal spray powders, sol-gel, zirconia are the specialty one, and the transformational, which is HPSiC and graphene and silicon nitrate. These are the three that we are looking at as a transformation. So let's put these two together as core and specialty in a very simplistic sense, right? So we expect this would take the contributions up at least by 10 to 15% higher is what is our expectation in this mix change. Because you will move from currently, let's say, 89-11 to 75-25 in this mix. So definitely the PBIT profile would go up. Now, I don't want to hazard a guess at this point, but I think it would definitely give a greater push in terms of moving the PBIT margin up.
Understood. So similarly, in terms of high purity silicon, we were also looking at launching this product in Russia. So is that also being set up in Russia, where the existing facility is being shifted towards that? Are we looking at adding capacity there? Because Russia also is running at a fairly high utilization. So would it be more of a value growth out there with a very small marginal volume growth? And if you can just touch upon the high priority in that market as well.
So right now our focus is set this up in Cochin. We are not looking at setting up this in Russia. So that's the point one I want to clarify. We want to get some stability there geopolitical-wise before we get to further investments there.
Okay, okay. And from a war perspective, what will drive growth? Because, I mean, utilizations are already very high. So can we expect like a, 10-15% kind of a growth possible out there, or will it be more subdued because of the higher utilizations?
It will be more subdued because of high utilization. As I said, that we are taking, very, very 2 to 3% growth rate under the current circumstances. It's not right to go anything beyond at this point in time. Let's look at it, how the things change, based on that, we can do that. There are packets of growth possible, higher refractory growth, higher braces growth in VAW, which definitely we are working on. And those can give us some, headroom. And also the relationship between India and Russia in terms of making use of their refractory products into India, we are strongly exploring that. That is another area of growth that we are looking at.
Okay, okay. Sorry, sir, and just one last thing on the high purity silicon in India. You said that, it's moving from the lab basis to the plant aspect of it. do we have some client tie-ups out here or anchor clients for our offtake once the plant is operational, say 18 odd months later?
Yes, yes. That's a good question. We have clearly an anchor customer in silicon carbide for for our ceramic business, because they will get into preparing themselves into serving semiconductor-based ceramics, defense side of ceramics, electronic-based ceramics. All these will require the HPSiC material, and that is what they would get into that. So clearly these two capacities are tied up, and that is for a clear anchor customer within us, we will have that. Now, outside of the anchor customer for the semiconductor use, we will start. We have just seeding this, supplying to few customers to for them to use the product and accept this, which will take time. But definitely, we have more than 50% of the production. We will have a internal tie-up.
Got it. Got it. Great, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alok Ranjan from 360 ONE Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is, if you can help me understand, what is the power transmission exposure as an end segment from our ceramics business?
So the power transmission exposure for ceramics segment, my guess is about, say, 18 to 20%.
And, sir, given the commentary, which is not only restricted to India, but on a global level also, can we assume that although we have guided for the ceramics business growth to be in the range of 12 to 14%, but this must be growing at a rate higher than 20-25%?
Yes, I think there are sub-segments, which I think metallized cylinders, which uses, goes into the medium voltage, which is what I also mentioned, is on a higher trajectory. I agree.
Got it. And sir, second question, if you can help me understand regarding this high purity, silicon carbide, can you just help me understand the value chain, like who will be the customer for us? And also, given the kind of, semiconductor-related capex being announced by Tata in terms of 50,000 wafers capacity, what could be the other opportunity which Carborundum can think to participate?
So, the high-purity silicon carbide would get used, as I said, we are looking at two broad areas of application. One is in the semiconductor, the other one is in the technical ceramics. Technical ceramics is basically, as I said, ceramics that would get used in semiconductor equipments, which is a very large space which we can look at it. The second area is in the electronics, EV vehicles, and also the areas of defense. All these areas would require high purity silicon carbide, largely on the industrial ceramics application is concerned. The second application goes is in the silicon carbide based wafer manufacturers would require the HPSiC material. So these are the two sets of things. As far as the Tata semiconductor that you are just mentioned, that they are based on silicon-based semiconductor fabs.
Got it, got it. Sir, just one clarification here. Given that we are putting up a capacity closer to 6 tons per month, what could be the typical size of a global market, and whether this capacity is initially to start with, since we are moving from lab to plant scale, and in terms of the runway, it could be much, much higher? How to think about it, sir, the growth journey here?
So I think the growth journey, we are putting up a reasonable capacity because 6 tons per month. So definitely it is a decent capacity. Headrooms are definitely there. As we, after establishing, it will definitely will be in a position to take a relook at this. Second is that we have to focus, as I said, we are just not focusing only on the semiconductor. We are also focused on the ceramic application, which I think, since it's going to be integrated into our own value chain, we'll be more keen to look at it that way.
Got it. So last question, we are seeing commodities are moving up again. So like alumina prices have moved up from $378 kind of per ton to more than, you know, 400. So it's around 8% sharp move that we are seeing. How does that impact our electrominerals business, this movement which we have seen in alumina?
It's difficult to directly correlate on the alumina side, alumina movement exactly, but definitely it will have an impact into our own input material cost. So it has to be worked in terms of passing on the cost. Those aspects will start flowing through.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations for good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhavin.
So actually, first is some data related questions. I missed the numbers of Ovoco and Rhodius. If you could just help me with full year revenues, EBITDA and PAT for Rhodius, that will be helpful. And the guidance that you gave of increment 8-9 million euro, I just got a little confused. If you can just help me again on the guidance front.
Let me take my notes paper. The so Abuko, as I said, I think it's a full year 9.13 million sales, and the loss after tax is 2.3 million. Now, this is last year's loss after tax was 3.7 million, that is FY23. Rhodius, I mentioned 63.3 million euro is the top line. And the full year basis, the loss after tax was 1.5 million euro compared to 3.7 million euro of the last year, FY23.
So in terms of guidance, what are we guiding individually on revenues and margins front for Ovoco and Rhodius in 25?
So Rhodius, I said we will go by 10% more higher growth, and we will make a small profit. And Ovoco, we said that we will go up by 8 to 10 million euro than the current numbers, and we are looking at an EBITDA break even there.
Were these, was Rhodius EBITDA positive in 23 given that it was a small loss?
No, EBITDA positive. Rhodius is EBITDA positive. Yeah, and I said, in fact, even at the current one, if I take the PPA out of 2.8 million, it is equivalent to a profit of 1 million euro at the PBT level.
I understand. So the second question is on the ceramics division, wherein you are highlighted that the year gone by we had mid-teens growth in ware ceramic and refractories. It's the engineered ceramic which declined. So what was the decline in the engineered ceramics last year, and going forward as the customer which postponed, which you believe will come back, then the growth that you are guiding for 11 to 13 seems lower than you guided in the past calls of 20 to 25% growth you were anticipating for the ceramics division.
Yeah. So I think the sum of all, there are three sub-segments in industrial ceramics, fire, engineered and metallized cylinders. Sum of all these three put together, we are at flat compared to FY23 to 24. We are not sharing individually their sub-elements and their growth. We feel that the engineered ceramics growth that we are looking at the next year considers a similar sales of last year from the customer that we had shortfall. And we have picked up higher sales on certain select segments like night vision lamps, defense industry, and few other devices customers, which helps us to get to the growth back. So we are gaining a growth at this point in time. Overall a growth rate that we are looking at. And on the refractory, again, there are two broad sub-segments, which is basically, three broad segments, fired, monolithic, and composites put together. These are the three sub-segments there. They have grown substantially well last year, and we are expecting a similar performance to continue in the next year. Earlier you were telling that you guided us 20%, now you are saying 13 to 15%. And I expect, I would like to be conservative here and exceed rather than tell something and come below that.
I appreciate that. Just one more question on the SOFC customer where there was a changeover in the model and hence there was a deferment of the sales. Are you getting, is there something more than just the changeover in the model where they are running off the older inventory than the demand impact that your discussions with the customer suggest? And is that, are you seeing that the growth can come back on a three-year basis, expecting on about one or two quarters that we have expected earlier?
Absolutely. I think, last call itself, I did clarify, there is a model change is one reason, the other one is their business in South Korea also went down and hence it affected. They got back to the South Korea orders from Q4 of calendar year 25, which is what I did mention in the last call. So we feel that, as you rightly said, in a three-year time frame to come, they will get back to higher growth rate. And I think it's a very strong customer. They are doing fine in their own business and they should get back.
On the EMD and high purity SICA, our capacity of 6 tons per month, if you could just help us with what would it be versus the global demand totally, just want to know what could be our share in the market once our capacities get commissioned?
I think I tried to answer this in the earlier question also is that these are niche demands globally. We feel that what we have kept as a capacity to start with is a decent capacity to get them, and once we establish it will give us a reasonable share. So I feel that we would be able to share this more once we establish, start doing that. We will be able to come back to you and share, but I think is a reasonable size to start at 6 tons a month.
Sure. I'm sorry to harp on this again. Would our capacity be like sub 5% of the world demand? I mean, we want to know the headroom the kind of
there
capacity.
There will be enough headroom.
Great. Just last part of it, in the EMD, historically we have been working on certain battery related materials like graphene and high purity graphite. Any progress on that, and if you could just give us some color on that, would be helpful.
Yeah, I think in the last call I did clarify these two points very well and about our intentions, etc. But to start with, let me get to the graphene again. And see, I feel that we are focusing, as far as graphene is concerned, on three broad areas. And one is in terms of auto detailing. The other one is the biopack. The third one is the supercapacitor application. Fourth and fifth work is on, which is on the cement and tires, meaning usually going through the rubber mod. So these are the five areas that we are looking at. Of this, three we will take it up, and that is how we are getting to the next step. As far as the graphite is concerned, we have clarified in the last call is that it takes a long time. We need to establish our synthetic graphite facility, which I think will take time. I would get back to you as and when we establish and we have a path forward, we will then share. At this point in time, as I said, the HPSiC and graphene is the two, and these are the five areas that we will focus on graphene. Of this three, we have a clearly laid path which will take it forward.
Sure. Appreciate this. But last question, if I may. So we have seen the Pollution Control Board have laid significant penalties on the tire companies, and that now there is a mandate for them to recycle. So do we have any products or solutions which can help them on this recycle part?
Yes, I think this is one area where we are focusing on, is how by adding graphene we get back to the similar to virgin rubber from a retreated or reused material is the work that currently we are working on. As we start establishing, as we start progressing well technically, we have done technical work in terms of few people associated with us and some universities outside of India. Would get back to you in a specific one as and when we have a good path forward. But as I said, it's one of the five areas of our focus.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my questions. But all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One on the India business. If I look at FY24, the abrasives and the ceramics segment has grown by about 4 to 5%, right? And the outlook for FY25 seems to suggest that y'all are baking in anywhere between 10 to 12% for the India business. Are you seeing increased level of activity overall from a market perspective, or do you think it's going to be a function of everything that you mentioned? So it'll be more micro rather than market-led. And second, the 4 to 5% growth that we witnessed in FY24, is there a way to probably comment whether, we've lost market share or, where we are? Because that number seems to be a bit soft. And the third, on VAW, what percentage of, if you could give us a segmental split of VAW between electrominerals, ceramics, and appraisers?
Thank you. I think so as far as the growth for FY25 is concerned, I think let's split this into two elements, ceramics and abrasives, which is what your question is. So ceramics, I think largely two broad components, industrial ceramic and refractory, are the two sub-components in that. Refractory grew 20% plus, but we have a challenge on the industrial ceramics, which was a flat, largely because of engineered ceramic business, which we talked in few questions earlier, and how we think that we will get back to higher growth rate. We explained this clearly. So it is nothing to do with the market one, like, you know, as in your own words, it's a micro management of the business, and we will get there. So that is how the growth path of instead of 5-6% this year to guided a higher percentage is the reason for ceramic side. Abrasives, similar explanation. It is not the market, which is, I think, market is there, market is growing. In a way, you have mentioned that. Does it mean you have lost market share? Yes, in some specific pockets, yes, we have lost. We have to get back. That is the program that I described also what we will do in abrasives to get back this. As far as VAW is concerned, it's predominantly an electro-mineral business. I would not like to share the individual segments, but this is broad guidance I can give.
Would it be fair to presume about 75% to 80% of VAW would be electro-minerals?
It's a predominantly electro-mineral business.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amar from Lucky Invest. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Pandey from Macron Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. On the high-purity silicon carbide, so firstly, maybe I missed this, but what are the commissioning timelines for the plant being set up? And secondly, in earlier calls, I think you used to mention about a certain level of purity that you are looking to achieve, like 99.9999. So is it fair to assume that that has been achieved now?
Thank you, Mohit. I think we are looking at a 5N purity, which we have established. It would take 18 months to set up this plant.
Okay, sir. And is there work also ongoing on further N levels of purity being targeted, or?
No, I think in this method of manufacturing, we have probably the best.
Understood, sir. Sir, and secondly, on abrasives domestic margins, so are there, apart from softer raw material prices, what would be the, you know, self-help measures like cost controls, etc., contributing to the margin expansion, if you could give some sense around that as well?
I think there are three or four drivers which we described. One is the commodity. The other one is product mix. The third one is the cost measures. And the fourth one is some of the price improvements that we put up in the select areas.
Okay. Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to host the call, sir. Wishing you all the very best and thanks to all the participants. Sir, any closing remarks from your end, sir?
I think first of all, thank DAM Capital for hosting this conference. I would like to summarize and leave a few thoughts here is that we have quite a decent volume growth in most of the business segments that we have. and we have clearly done an excellent performance in terms of the profitability. The profit growth is very good. PAT ratio is at 10% plus. Cash conversion is good at 86%, and it continues to be a zero-debt company. Good balance sheet, and the companies that we acquired started performing well, both at Rhodius and Awuko. It is on the trajectory of the right growth. We have done a good job in terms of reorganizing and strengthening the leadership team at various levels, and we have currently working on a long-term strategy and a vision going up to 2030. So, summary is that a good base business, trajectory of growth identified, leadership team is in place, we're working towards getting to the next level of the growth path. So that's probably the summary I would like to leave. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.